Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 17th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures gain after another record close for stocks.
Data out of China show the economy stabilizing to end the year.
The yield curve steepens as the U.S. announces plans for 20-year bonds.
And the Labor Department moves ahead with plans to tighten control over economic data.
The impeachment trial of President Donald Trump opens in the Senate, plus more accusations from a former associate of Rudy Giuliani about Ukraine. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Carlos Beltran's Mets managerial career over before it started due to Beltran's involvement in the Houston sign-stealing scandal. Knicks and Devils lost. Rangers beat the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Their margin loans start at 3.06% and decrease for larger loan values. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare.
And U.S. futures are higher after another record close for the S&P 500. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points, Dow futures up 77, NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%, CAC in Paris up 0.8%, and so is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.81%, yield on the 2-year 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 27 cents at $58.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $6.50 at $15.57 an ounce. The euro, 1.1113 against the dollar. The yen is at 110.10. Nathan.
And Karen, we begin with data out of China showing some stabilization to end the year. The world's second largest economy grew 6% in the fourth quarter, while retail sales, fixed asset investment, and industrial output all beat estimates. Supriya Menon is multi-asset strategist at Pictet Asset Management.
The economy is stabilizing. That's certainly been our expectation. And better news on the industrial front slash fixed asset investment, that has been a bit weaker through this downturn. So that we would take as a positive sign. That said, this stabilization is taking place against a backdrop of declining trend growth. So when we say that the growth rate is the lowest in X years, expect that to continue to be the case.
Well, there were concerns that the trade war and China's struggle with bad debt risked more deceleration in the fourth quarter. Instead, investment picked up for the first time since June.
As the ink dries on the U.S. and China's Phase 1 trade deal, the EU's new trade chief is in Washington to boost Europe's relationship with America. EU Trade Commissioner Phil Hogan weighed in on the agreement in an interview with Bloomberg.
For the first time, there is movement on the Chinese side to accommodate the United States' request for to deal with secrets and intellectual theft in terms of the intellectual property area. So I think we can build, this is an example of where we can build some positive agenda and alignment in relation to how we deal with these issues.
At the same time, the EU Trade Commissioner took a swipe at the U.S.-China deal, saying it smacked of managed trade. At a later speech in Washington, Hogan said President Trump's America First agenda is creating an international trade crisis.
We must call out the narrative that the United States has a trade deficit or an unfair trading relationship with the European Union. In reality, the relationship is both balanced and highly mutually beneficial.
The EU trade chief calls White House tariff threats short-sighted electioneering and warns of economic damage from protectionist policies.
Meantime, Microsoft is praising the partial U.S.-China trade deal. Chief Legal Officer Brad Smith tells us it's a, quote, indisputably good and important step.
It absolutely adds stability. It creates a foundation for additional progress. It adds to business confidence.
Microsoft stock closed at an all-time high yesterday, rising 1.8% to finish above $166 a share. At the same time, we saw Alphabet surpass $1 trillion in market cap. Alphabet now joins Microsoft, Apple, and Saudi Aramco as the only companies valued at more than $1 trillion.
It was another positive session for stocks in Asia overnight, though the gains were moderate. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us now from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index posted a seventh weekly gain. In the same week, the Phase 1 US-China trade deal was signed. That is the longest winning streak for Asian stocks in 2 years and on track to match the longest winning streak in nearly 6 years. China's CSI 300 was little changed Friday, while both the on and offshore currencies traded at fresh six-month highs. Now, next week, focus for Asian investors turns to earnings season. More than 300 companies on the MSCI Asia Pacific Index due to report over the coming fortnight. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliet. Back here in the U.S., the Treasury starts selling 20-year bonds in the coming months. Treasury predicts strong demand for the notes. Richard Jones is an FX and rate strategist for Bloomberg.
We have long-end yields rising with the announcement of this new 20-year supply that Steve Mnuchin brought forward. I think we'll see a steepening of the curve because the short end, as long as it stays anchored, I think that equities will probably do okay. If we do get increased supply, I think we could see the curve steepening and longer-end yields rising.
The Treasury Department will provide more details on the 20-year bonds in an announcement next month.
Earlier this week, we reported that the government was planning to tighten control over economic data releases. Now it's official. Here are the details. Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The Labor and Commerce Departments will ban computers from the room where journalists receive advanced access to economic reports like monthly job figures. They say the move is due to news organizations profiting off their special access. The change takes effect March 1st and could cause delays in the publication of stories and data by media organizations. It may also spur an arms race among high-speed traders to get the numbers first and profit off the data. I'm Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thanks. And as the Federal Reserve watches data like the monthly jobs report, it could soon do so with two new members. The White House says President Trump plans to nominate Judy Shelton and Christopher Waller to the central bank. We originally reported those plans over the summer, but a formal announcement didn't come till now. The nominations now move to the Senate.
We have some downbeat economic data out of the UK. Retail sales plunged 0.6% in December compared to estimates for a 0.6% gain. The pound weakened on the data. It is currently trading at 1.3041 against the dollar. We're also seeing an increase in bets on a rate cut from the Bank of England. Traders now price in a 75% chance of a cut at the January 30th meeting, and Bloomberg customers can get details by typing WIRPGO on the terminal. Futures are higher this morning with S&P futures up 8 points. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with a check of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. As the anxious wait begins for Tuesday's opening arguments in the impeachment trial, President Trump is making it clear he wants to get it over with. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
If he gets his way, the trial will be short.
Well, I think it should go very quickly. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. Everybody knows that. It's a complete hoax.
But Trump may not get his way. Republican Susan Collins of Maine is said to be insisting on an up or down vote on calling witnesses. She issued a statement saying she tends to believe having additional information would be helpful. Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says he hopes his colleagues will feel the solemnity of the moment.
Gives me some hope that a number of our Senate colleagues will rise to the occasion.
Schumer says the gravity of the charges shouldn't be easily dismissed. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Lev Parnas, a former associate of Rudy Giuliani, said that then Energy Secretary Rick Perry told Ukraine's president that he had to announce an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden. Parnas, in the second part of an MSNBC interview, says Perry went to Ukraine with that message last May when he attended the inauguration of President Volodymyr Zelensky. Five countries whose citizens died when Iran shot down an airliner last week say Iran should pay compensation to families of the victims and warned that the world is watching for its response. Canadian Foreign Minister François-Philippe Champagne met with other officials from Ukraine, Sweden, Afghanistan, and the UK.
We will continue to share information and lessons learned with each other, to stand in solidarity, and to speak with one voice as we pursue justice for the victim of this horrific tragedy.
All 176 people aboard, including 57 Canadians, were killed. President Trump designated Puerto Rico a major disaster area after a series of earthquakes shocked the bankrupt island, damaging power plants, school buildings, and homes. Meanwhile, House Democrats released a $3.35 billion supplemental spending measure to assist Puerto Rico. This is sentencing day for former Congressman Chris Collins, who pleaded guilty to insider trading charges. Collins pleaded guilty to tipping his son about the failure of a drug made by a pharmaceutical company. He served as a board member. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan and A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran, all part of the World Series winning Astros of 2017. Hinch, the manager, Cora, the bench coach, Beltran, the respected veteran in his final season. In a span of 4 days, all three lost their managerial jobs for their roles in sign-stealing gates. So the Mets have joined the Red Sox and Astros looking for a new manager a month before spring training. Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen said they were completely blindsided by the revelations about Beltran.
We all were surprised. We all did not see, or certainly I did not see, nor did anyone in the Mets organization have any knowledge that this situation happened in 2017 or that there was the potential for this information becoming public. We simply had no knowledge.
They did hire Beltran before the story broke, but after it did and Beltran was mentioned, they never asked him about it. An apologetic Beltran released a statement admitting fault. At the Garden, Phoenix pulled away from the Knicks 121-98. Three Suns scored 25 or more. Julius Randle had 26 for the Knicks. Two games went overtime. Denver sent Golden State to a 10th loss in a row, and New Orleans topped Utah. That ends the Jazz 10-game win streak. At the Coliseum, Rangers beat the Islanders for the second time in four nights. Chris Kreider on the power play with 25 seconds left for a 3-2 Ranger win. Devils lost in Washington 5-2. 25th career hat trick for Alex Ovechkin. College basketball wins locally for Hofstra, Manhattan, and Monmouth. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. We invite you to join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. Fresh off signing a new labor deal, we talk with WNBA Players Association Director Terry Jackson. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. Friday morning, looks like we'll see more gains on Wall Street. S&P futures are higher by 7.5 points right now. Dow futures up 75. NASDAQ futures a rise of 33 points, top of yesterday's record close. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover. Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The U.S. will sell 20-year bonds to help fund a swelling budget deficit. The Treasury predicts strong demand for the notes and will provide more details in an announcement next month. President Trump's Fed nominees will be Judy Shelton and Christopher Waller. Waller, who works at the St. Louis Fed, is a conventional choice. Shelton, who's been an informal advisor to the president, has spent decades outside mainstream economics. China's economy ended the year on an upbeat note. Investment picked up in December for the first time since June, industrial output and retail sales beat, and GDP came in at 6%. And we're close to a settlement between Bayer and Roundup. Court-appointed mediator Ken Feinberg is cautiously optimistic a deal can get done in about a month. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Thanks, Hannah. S&P futures are up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 73. NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.81%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 36 cents at $58.89 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.90 at $15.56.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.1111 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3042. And the yen, 110.11. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the Senate has been sworn in for President Trump's impeachment trial. The Government Accountability Office claims the Trump administration violated the law to withhold money Congress had appropriated for Ukraine. President Trump says he has done nothing wrong. A new poll shows Senator Bernie Sanders is now tied with former Vice President Joe Biden for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination among registered voters. According to a Reuters Ipsos national poll, 20% back Sanders. The Carlos Beltran era with the Mets ended before it even began. Beltran, who is caught up in MLB sign-stealing accusations, is out as the team's manager just as he was ready to start his first season with the Mets. He is the third manager to be fired in the scandal. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics and Warriors. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Islanders. The Devils lost to the Capitals. The Bruins won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As fourth quarter earnings season rolls along, want to take a closer look now at the results we got from Wall Street banks this week and what they could say about the economy going forward. For that, pleased to be joined right now by Kriti Gupta, who covers the markets on our Bloomberg Markets Live team. Good to have you with us, Kriti. And I guess the big story, the big takeaway from the results we got from the financials this week is the bond trading desks. Wow, did they outperform?
That's right. Good morning, Nathan. Fixed income trading, really the highlight of these firms. I mean, let me just read you some of these numbers. Really huge numbers here. JP Morgan beating estimates, of course, with an 86% year-on-year gain. Citi growing by 49% year-on-year. Morgan Stanley doubling their revenue this quarter to $1.3 billion. Those are some fantastic numbers, especially in the fixed income trading space, because credit markets are fairly challenging to work with. And to see a collective 56% jump in that business, which, by the way, is the biggest leap in 8 years. That's pretty substantial coming from these banks, considering just the volatility and the year we've just had.
Yeah, a year that came at a time when the interest rate environment was so much different compared to the third quarter, with the banks in a three-rate cut mode as opposed to the earlier quarter. How did the banks react to that?
Yeah, so 75 basis points, obviously those rate cuts coming from the Fed. Very different environment than the third quarter, where we were seeing that geopolitical risk, where monetary policy was front and center. Now, not so much the case, certainly not necessarily the case in the fourth quarter when the Fed made it clear that they would have a very high bar to act again. That being said, from the net interest margin perspective, you saw a pretty broad decline in 2019. A big part of that was those rate cuts, of course. Bank of America really reacting kind of poorly to it, but note that that bank is really heavily tied to interest rate changes. So not necessarily out of the blue there, but even JP Morgan also predicting another late cut in 2020. What I really caught my attention, though, is in these earnings was Citi expecting their net interest revenue to increase this year, given those lower rates. So they also had a bit of a hit in their net interest margin, but their underlying reason was they were expecting loan growth. And I think that's really important to note, because it really tells you that these banks are expecting the economy to keep on churning. This expansion in the economy, they expect to continue, and especially in the consumer and the consumer lending part with those loan growth comments.
So how do you see banks positioned at this point, with the Fed expected to remain on the sidelines in 2020 and to continue with that 75 basis point rate cut environment? Will they be able to navigate it going forward?
It kind of seems like they are. And I think a big part of that is because they're so constructive on the economy. And this isn't necessarily a new idea here. J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon, Bank of America's Brian Moynihan, really underscored last year that even with the trade tensions, even with the geopolitical issues going on, the American consumer is still strong. So they were pretty positive on where banks were going even before the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter really solidified those hopes for them. So I think now that we kind of have this easier geopolitical risk kind of fading, trade not necessarily front and center anymore after we have that deal signed this week, I think going forward, interest rates and these geopolitical tensions, the really big stories 2019, now we're just going more to economic data and seeing just by what margin the economy is going to grow going into 2020 and what the election will bring.
So in our last 30 seconds here, how does this set us up for the earnings that we're going to see going forward here? We're hearing from more domestically focused banks next week.
That's right. And I think they've set these big banks have set a pretty high bar. They're very constructive on the economy. What I will note, though, is that the Bank of New York Mellon, a smaller bank, fairly large, but still a bit smaller than these big names here, didn't do so well. So it's really interesting to see if we go into these regional banks, are they actually maybe getting some of the brunt of the effects of those geopolitical tensions, of those interest rate cuts, whereas these bigger banks have more of a margin to deal with them. So that's really something I'll be watching going into next week.
Thanks for this, Kriti. Good talking with you this morning. That's Kriti Gupta covering markets on our Bloomberg Markets Live team. And Bloomberg customers can get more from Kriti and the rest of the folks at MLive. Just type MLIV Go on the Bloomberg terminal. Futures moving higher on this Friday morning. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures gaining 78. NASDAQ futures up by 33 points. 10-year Treasury yield 1.81%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are gaining after data out of China shows some stability to end the year. The world's second largest economy grew 6% in the fourth quarter, while retail sales, fixed asset investment, and industrial output all beat estimates. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
China's economy showed further signs of perking up in December. Industrial production advanced 6.9%. That easily beat a Bloomberg estimate of 5.9%. Retail sales growing 8%, just ahead of an estimate of 7.9%. And fixed asset investment year to date up 5.4%. Now, for all of 2019, 58% of China's growth was down to consumption, with investment at 31% and 11% coming from net exports. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. As the ink dries on the U.S. and China's Phase 1 trade deal, the EU's new trade chief is questioning the agreement. Phil Hogan says the EU may bring a case to the WTO if it determines the deal violates trading rules. The trade commissioner is also looking to boost Europe's relationship with America.
If we go about this in the right way, working together, the mutual benefits can be very significant. But if we fail to do so, the damage will be significant also.
Hogan calls White House tariff threats short-sighted electioneering and says President Trump's America First agenda is creating an international trade crisis.
The Fed is also in focus today. The White House says President Trump plans to nominate Judy Shelton and Christopher Waller to the central bank. The formal announcement now moves the nominations to the Senate.
In the UK, retail sales plunged in December, declining 0.6%, and the pound weakened on the data. Currently, it is trading at 130.35 against the dollar.
On the corporate front, Gap shares up 5% in early trading. The retailer is scrapping plans to spin off its Old Navy unit. We get more from Bloomberg's Jordan Holman.
Old Navy has kind of slowed down in growth. It looks like the company's saying, hey, we're going to focus on the management side and not do this larger separation.
And the Gap was one of the worst performing stocks in the S&P 500 last year, falling 31%. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 76. NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.81%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 31 cents at $58.83 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.33%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. And Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The impeachment trial of President Donald Trump has opened in the Senate. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says new evidence reinforces the need for senators to call additional witnesses. President Trump again insisted he's done nothing wrong. Trump says last year's phone call with Ukraine's president was a perfect call.
The transcript was perfectly accurate. And now everybody agrees because it went through a lot and they said, well, could you add one word here? Our lieutenant colonel said, well, I think they should add. They added the word. Everyone agrees the transcript is perfecto, done by total professionals.
Senate Democrats say the evidence presented thus far points to wrongdoing by the president when he pressured a foreign government to investigate a political rival. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Do the American people want someone from overseas determining who's their president, who's their governor, who's their senator, who's their congressman? This is what the nation has feared for centuries.
The full trial will begin next Tuesday. There are more accusations from a former associate of Rudy Giuliani. Lev Parnas said that then Energy Secretary Rick Perry told Ukraine's president that he had to announce an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden. A Richmond Circuit Court judge has upheld the governor's decision to temporarily ban firearms on Virginia Capitol grounds. It is one of the security precautions the state is taking in advance of a gun rights rally on Monday. FBI agents have arrested a former Canadian Armed Forces reservist and two other men who authorities say are linked to a violent white supremacist group. The men were believed to be heading to the pro-gun rally in Richmond. About a quarter of the entire homeless population in the U.S. lives in California as the state tries to tackle the crisis. Governor Gavin Newsom met with local officials in Oakland.
We own this issue. It's the issue of our time. The issue of homelessness is a crisis in the state of California. It has happened on our watch, and we need to meet this moment.
The governor says emergency funding is being made available to communities throughout the state to create shelters and convert hotels and motels into permanent housing. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Carlos Beltran's Mets managerial career over before it ever started. The Mets general manager is Brody Van Wagenen.
Back on November 1st, we officially hired Carlos Beltran to be our new manager. At that time, we were unaware of the Astros situation. Following that report, on Monday, the commissioner's report and findings were released. This morning, Jeff and I again met with Carlos and came to this difficult conclusion. In talking to Carlos, it was clear how challenging it was going to be for him to effectively manage the team going forward.
So Beltran joins A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora, three managers in 4 days who lost their jobs due to their involvement in the scandal. Hinch was suspended for a year. Cora was almost certainly going to be. Beltran, a player on the 17 Astros, was not looking at a suspension, but baseball made a point of mentioning him several times in the report. Beltran issued a statement admitting fault and deep regret over his actions. Latest Knicks loss to Phoenix, 121-98. Three Suns, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Ricky Rubio combined for 80 points. And the Knicks lost rookie R.J. Barrett to a sprained ankle. League-leading Milwaukee beat Boston. The Bucks were 37-6. Rangers beat the Islanders at the Coliseum. A Chris Kreider goal on the power play. Final minute for a 3-2 win for the Blue Shirts, who've now won 4-5. Devils lost in Washington 5-2. Odell Beckham went to New Orleans to watch his school, LSU, win the national championship. After the game, he got in trouble for giving cash to LSU players. Now there's a warrant for Beckham's arrest for simple battery. There's video of him slapping the behind of a security guard. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street, which is gearing up for another full day of economic indicators. Economists forecast today's data will show rising housing starts and falling industrial output. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says a warmer than usual December probably helped boost construction. Low mortgage rates have also been a plus. Housing starts posted back-to-back gains in October and November. Turning to industrial production, Bloomberg Economics says the travails of aircraft maker Boeing could weigh on the December data. November output bounced back after the General Motors strike. Also on today's data agenda, job openings and the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index. Bloomberg customers can find a full list of economic indicators by typing EcoGo on their Bloomberg terminal. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. It's 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
The FDA risks sacrificing its standards for speed. I'm Max Neeson, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Today's Food and Drug Administration moves faster than it used to. That may not always be a good thing. A new study from Harvard Medical School found that the FDA is approving drugs faster with weaker evidence. Emphasis on speed and flexibility could be eroding standards. In 1992, Congress created accelerated approval, which can greenlight medicines based on surrogate endpoints like scans or biomarkers that predict rather than confirm patient benefit. It's one of several programs that are contributing to the study's findings. Companies that get accelerated approval are supposed to run a further study to confirm that their drugs work, but often drag their feet as they continue to profit from often costly drugs. There are good reasons for faster approvals. Scientific advances have made it easy to create impactful drugs for small populations, but the FDA arguably hasn't found the right balance between embracing innovation and maintaining a high bar. Upcoming approval decisions, particularly on an Alzheimer's drug that would cost Americans billions even though there's limited evidence and it works, are an opportunity the agency should use to move back towards demanding firmer proof that drugs work before they hit the market. I'm Max Neeson. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI on Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI on Go. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
CP Industries is a small Pennsylvania-based business that manufactures high-pressure vessels for the chemical industry and others that make their stuff with stainless steel, a lot of which they have to import. And that steel is still subject to 25% tariffs imposed by the Trump administration. Bloomberg Law's Brian Flood says CP Industries applied for a tariff exemption but was turned down.
CP Industries claimed that Customs and Border Protection improperly denied their exclusion request for nearly $750,000 worth of hot finish stainless steel pipe.
CP is now suing. They claim their exemption was denied because they didn't dot some I's and cross some T's in a mound of paperwork. The case illustrates the multiple hurdles small business still face in the tariff exclusion process. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
All right, John, thanks. From a small business to a really big one, Facebook. It's being sued. Four potential competitors to the social network are accusing it of anti-competitive behavior and asking for CEO Mark Zuckerberg to give up control of his company. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg NBC Sports Report is brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures are higher this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing right now, with Dow futures up 80 points. S&P's gain 8, while the Nasdaq futures rise by 8.35. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.81%. Gold is trading higher by 4. And Shanghai was a little changed overnight. Well, European markets are also trading higher, led by 1% gains in Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, housing starts, and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, rail CSX revenue missed estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Schlumberger, State Street, and Kansas City Southern to report before the open. In other news, Morgan Stanley boosted Apple's price target to $3.68 a share. And wrapping things up, IBM was cut to equal weight at Morgan Stanley. Adobe raised to outperform at Oppenheimer. Twitter cut to neutral at UBS. And eBay was cut to underweight over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Hey, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump has opened in the Senate. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warned senators not to become all the president's henchmen Trump derided the proceedings as a hoax. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said Iran had delivered a slap to the U.S.'s image as a superpower in this month's military confrontation seeking to rally Iranians around an embattled establishment as he led Friday prayers in Tehran for the first time in 8 years. The Carlos Beltran era with the Mets ended before it even began. Beltran, who was caught up in MLB's sign-stealing accusations, is out as the team's manager just as he was ready to start his first season with the Mets. He is the third manager to be fired in the scandal. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics and Warriors. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Islanders. The Devils lost to the Capitals. The Bruins won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, Elon Musk was asked how he would fix Twitter. His answer, identify the bot. Nathan, the Tesla CEO, told a room full of Twitter employees it would be helpful to differentiate between real and fake users.
Yeah, I suppose it would. But I think if they got rid of those bots, a lot of people would lose a lot of followers.
Well, then you've got people like me who have no clue and follow the Twitter and the Facebook. But that's another story.
Yeah.
Global News, 24 hours a day on the air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. What does this escape button do?
The Michael Barr. Thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's just about 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump formally nominating a pair of Fed critics, Judy Shelton and Christopher Waller, to join the central bank after making the announcement months ago. The Treasury planning to issue 20-year bonds to help fund a rising deficit. And Secretaries Pompeo and Esper pushing South Korea for more troop funding in a Wall Street Journal op-ed. Also making news this morning, the world's most deliberative body is about to turn into the world's most quiet jury chamber for President Trump's impeachment trial. Let's get more on this now from Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And I say quiet in the sense, Kate, that the senators won't be able to speak as the arguments get underway. Quite a change for what these senators are used to.
Absolutely. And, you know, senators are not known for their, you know, brevity of speech. In fact, right. You know, the Senate's famous for the filibuster and senators talking nonstop. And so this is going to be quite a shift, something like which the chamber hasn't seen since 1998 with the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And so I think it's going to be a dramatic shift. Another thing is, you know, often now in the age of C-SPAN, senators come to the floor and there's maybe one senator presiding over the chamber. And even though, you know, the senators typically give speeches to an empty chamber. And so this is going to be not a lot of speeches and senators, but a full chamber with a bunch of senators sitting there. We don't often see all the senators sitting in their seats. Often when we see that, it's only when there's a high-profile vote, much like, for instance, on the health care legislation back in 2008 on Christmas Eve, all the senators came in and sat at their seats and voted from their seats. But that's typically one of the only other occasions where we see this sort of thing.
And because we're going to have all the senators in their seats, it's already changing the way the presidential campaign is going, because four senators are running for president and they're going to have to figure out how to work in campaigning with their constitutional duties.
Yeah, and it's hard having to tend to their day jobs. Typically, when senators run for president, they don't come back very often. I'm thinking back to during the 2008 campaign, when Barack Obama and John McCain came back from the campaign trail during the financial crisis to meet with members of the House and their colleagues in the Senate. So usually that doesn't happen. Usually the senators have some flexibility to go off and campaign. Ironically, in a way, even though Joe Biden's been very much at the center of some of the, this whole question of Ukraine and what sort of efforts the White House made and Trump made to try to force an investigation into Biden and his son. In a weird way, this could potentially benefit Biden because he will be free to campaign while a lot of his colleagues, as you point out, who happen to be senators, are going to have to be stuck in Washington.
And it comes at a very interesting time with this new Reuters Ipsos poll out this morning. It's a national poll that now shows Bernie Sanders tied exactly, not even within the statistical margin of error, with Joe Biden as we head into the Iowa caucuses. But how could the impeachment trial potentially shake up the way this race goes forward here?
Yeah, I mean, we're heading into the final days before Iowa. We know that Biden has been trailing in Iowa in a lot of the polls. So, you know, this could be a chance for him to spend more time there while his colleagues are stuck in Washington. However, you know, it's in some ways, you know, or in a lot of ways, the narrative of impeachment is not necessarily a positive one for him. So I think it'll be, you know, because it's both he and his son have been accused, you know, by the Trump administration of impropriety. And so I think that it shines kind of a difficult spotlight on Biden, but it also, you know, these are not new allegations at this point, and he is going to have some flexibility to campaign that his colleagues won't or his rivals won't. So I think that it's a dynamic that bears watching. It's a little too early, really, to say how it's going to shake out or if it's going to have any effect at all.
Now, we're heading into a long holiday weekend here before the trial itself starts in the Senate on Tuesday. What are we expecting to happen between now and then, given all the revelations we've seen just in the last couple of days in terms of what could be argued in this impeachment trial of President Trump?
Well, I think the revelations we've heard over the last several days have really added fuel to Democrats' fire or helped renew their fire over arguing that they should be allowed to call witnesses or that witnesses should be called and documents should be entered into evidence. The position of McConnell and the Republicans has been that they won't have a vote on whether to do that until after both sides present their arguments. And Republicans typically, with perhaps some exceptions, I think those there's about three Republicans, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, and Susan Collins of Maine, who bear watching, who have indicated they could be open to supporting, siding with Democrats to support witnesses. But I think that, you know, I think it bears watching those three Republicans in particular very closely to see if there's any movement from them based on these most recent revelations towards supporting calling witnesses.
Yeah, we're hearing from Lev Parnas, the associate of Rudy Giuliani, who's facing federal charges, as well as this new GAO report that says the law was broken when the White House held on to Ukraine aid. How could some of that play into the impeachment trial?
Well, again, I think that that is, I think the question is, does it change the minds of the people who are going to matter, which is these three Republicans, perhaps other Republicans who could side with Democrats? I think otherwise, it certainly builds some pressure on them to perhaps consider siding with Democrats. They all represent, you know, they're all moderate Republicans who, have a history of breaking ranks with their party. But I think for most Republicans, it's probably not going to change their mind. And for Democrats, it's just going to reinforce what they're already arguing. So really, we're just looking at a handful of Republican senators to see if it really influences them.
Heading toward a historic moment in Washington. Thank you, as always, Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about the impeachment trial and everything that's happening in Washington at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 in the nation's capital. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. At 6:56 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Democrats had plenty to say on climate change at their debate this past week.
If we do not get our act together in terms of climate change, the planet will be increasingly unlivable.
I will roll back the environmental changes Donald Trump is putting in place.
I introduced the first climate change bill. I've been fighting this for a long time.
I would declare a state of emergency on day one on climate.
This is no longer theoretical. This is no longer off in the future.
2 days later, House Republicans held a closed-door strategy session on what they should be saying about the issue. Polling shows young Americans want politicians to tackle the problem, and party strategists have warned if Republicans don't address the issue, they could alienate an entire generation of voters. Lawmakers talked of advancing green innovation, carbon capture technology, and nuclear power. It remains to be seen what else can be said in a party with a standard bearer who is denied human factors behind the issue. Some Republicans fear the party has ceded the debate to Democrats. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Earnings from Schlumberger, fourth quarter profit beating analyst estimates. Revenue beat as well. Futures are higher with S&P futures up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures up 37. The DAX in Germany's up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.81%. And the yield on the 2-year at 1.55%, the euro 1.1111 against the dollar. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.